Welcome to the Full Morning Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:17 British Summer Time. Today is September 1st. Well, we're well and truly finished with the summer holidays, and large numbers of investors will be back in the office today and yesterday, following a rather quiet August on a number of fronts, particularly in the last week. And they will have been looking around and saying, well, is there enough out there that we can go and add to what has been a remarkably strong advance since early March? And will they be in there buying aggressively? Well, the emphatic answer today was no, they're not doing that exactly. And when we look at what stock markets were doing, well, China had that another down leg yesterday and was relatively quiet in here today. The majority of Asia was actually finishing the day in positive territory. Korea moved to a new high. In Europe, the majority of markets closed down in excess of 1% and a number in excess of 2%. And on Wall Street, the Dow was closing down just less than 2%, the S&P just more than that, and the same with the Nasdaq. And a number of Latin American and the Canadian market all closed down in excess of 1%. So we're not seeing huge downward dynamics in the stock markets, but certainly enough to check the advance that we've seen in the very short term. Looking out to the medium term, in leading markets, they're really quite overextended relative to their moving averages, and it is only a matter of time, I think, before we see a reversion towards the mean. But in the case of those leading markets, it's likely to be limited to a reversion towards the mean rather than some of the more bearish forecasts, which are calling for a new bear market to ensue. For lagging markets, the question now is whether they can hold the majority of their gains and form a first step above the base. And that question is likely to be answered in the next couple of months. Now, today we've seen that a number of markets closed down in excess of 1%. So it checked the short-term advance because last week was so very quiet. It looks to be a larger dynamic than it actually is. What would really need to be seen is follow through tomorrow with a subsequent downward dynamic, which would pull a number of these lagging markets in particular down out of these short-term ranges. In the case of the S&P, the market closed just south of 1,000 points in here today, but it would need to fall a bit further than this to break down out of this little range that it's been in for the majority of August. And that would really then only put us back in line with the forecast that it was more of a reversionary type environment where we would see a number of these markets come back and test their means. And in the case of something like the S&P or indeed the FTSE 100 or the DAX, whether they're actually going to form first steps in the region of the upper side of their bases. So we don't have categorical evidence that this larger reaction that we've been expecting has started, but there are some other signals that need to be taken into account. Today, we saw an upward dynamic in favor of the dollar on the dollar index. It was up over half of 1 point, but against the Australian dollar, stronger by almost 2 full cents, and against the Canadian dollar, stronger by a full cent. And both against the pound and the euro. So, also stronger by over a cent or a penny, respectively. And that suggests that we are starting to get a little bit of people looking at the dollar at the lower side of its range and looking at some of these stock markets in particular being relatively overextended and thinking perhaps that they should be taking a little bit of money off the table. What we don't have categorical evidence either in favor of the dollar, particularly in view of the fact that it has been really quite volatile over the last couple of weeks. And what it hasn't been able to do is to string a couple of these dynamics together on consecutive days. And it really would have to do that to break up or downwards from this rather tight range than it's been in for the last couple of weeks, particularly against currencies like the euro or the Canadian dollar. On the treasury markets, they closed out the day a little bit firmer on the longer side of the curve, but on the shorter side of the curve, we see that yields have fallen back below the 1% level and are back to levels not seen since the middle of July. And the middle of July is relatively important because it was the end of that little reaction that we saw from the beginning of June through to the middle of July. And the fact that yields are back to levels, which was the last relatively important low in the market, suggests that there is a certain cohort out there that are favoring short-term liquid instruments rather than putting increasing amounts of money into stock markets at this juncture. In the commodity markets, oil was a bit softer in here today and is down below $70 in here, and natural gas has been remarkably persistent on the downside over the last month or so. And the contract rolled sometime last week, so we're into the October contract now, and it's down below $3 in here today, or probably broke through that yesterday, but it has been remarkably persistent on the downside. And it really does need an upward dynamic to close out some of these shorts and signal a return to demand dominance. There is a strong likelihood, of course, that when we do get that upward dynamic, that the market will rebound in the opposite direction really very quickly. But there are a number of fundamental concerns for the natural gas market. I've got a number of reports that I will post tomorrow on that subject. Looking at the precious metals, gold was really relatively steady in here today, most of the day in well, relatively unchanged, and closed out over $5. So it hasn't reacted in the same way that stock markets have. Now, obviously, in stock markets, this evidence is not categorical. We've only had one downward dynamic, and about the vast majority of stock markets remain within these short-term ranges. But the fact that you have what could be termed risk assets under pressure in here to a certain extent, and so-called safe havens somewhat firmer, would suggest that gold, being in the plus column, is being treated more as a safe haven. And we have had an increasing number of bearish reports coming out over the last week in particular, talking about the risks of quantitative easing and the threat of deflation and the inability of the government sector to be able to cover their liabilities, and with the vast amount of paper that they're trying to put onto the market in conjunction with their quantitative easing programs. And that is also, we are also having a number of arguments against the banking sector and the continued losses that are the continued way that the banking sector has to write down their loan books. The S&P 500 Diversified Financials has been outperforming the wider index for the last few months, but it came under selling pressure in here today, and this was. It could be classified again as a downward dynamic, but it is only the first downward dynamic, and the index does really remain within this short-term range. But we are starting to see that some of the leading markets are coming under a little bit more sustained pressure at the moment. And while the market does remain relatively volatile, and last week in particular, we saw that it was up one day, down the next, and that it really will take consecutive days on the downside to move these markets enough that we will have a clear signal that the persistent advance that we've seen, particularly since the middle of July, is running into trouble. We've already seen a somewhat of a loss of momentum, but markets continued to post new highs last week. And while they are overextended relative to their moving averages, we hadn't had any signal to say that we'd hit an absolute high, and yet we couldn't be confirmed in making that prognosis just yet. But if we start to see consecutive days on the downside, then we will start to see a number of these indices pushing down through these short-term ranges that have been forming over the last month and 6 weeks, and we will start to pressure the progression of higher lows, which have been forming relatively consistently over a number of months for quite a few of these markets. But in that type of scenario, there is the strong possibility that following any reaction, that we will start to find support in the region of these moving averages, that the challenge for markets, particularly the laggards, will be can they hold the majority of their gains, and will they do more ranging rather than trending in any type of reversionary type environment? And that will be what we were watching for if the reversion to the mean type prediction is going to come into effect. We continue to see that monetary conditions are extremely conducive to financial assets appreciating in value. So there is the strong likelihood that what we are going to see is a certain amount of profit taking in what have been very, very good performing assets. But as long as these monetary conditions remain amenable to the large investors being able to open carry trades and borrow at very low levels in a range of different currencies and invest that money in higher yielding or better performing assets, there is a chance, there is the strong possibility that this will be nothing more than a reversionary type move prior to these markets moving on to form more consistent advances once that reversion has run its course. If we do move into a larger type reaction, then there is the possibility, indeed likelihood, that we will see a firmer tone on the US dollar. That could also be applied to the yen, potentially even the pound. These are all funding currencies for the for risk asset type trades, and gold could be a beneficiary in that type of environment. We are still in need of a catalyst to improve gold's performance and push it back up towards and through the $1,000 level. Perhaps talk of a deflationary type environment or the failure of quantitative easing at some point in the future might be the kind of thing that could get it going. At the moment, gold is relatively steady around the $950 level, continues to consolidate below the $1,000 level, and once it has sustained a move above $1,000, there is a strong chance that it will be able to improve on that performance, but for the moment, it is quite steady. And I think with that, I'd like to update you on David's progress. I was surprised and delighted to talking to him today to find out that he was at home. I literally was speechless to find out that he was able to come home from the hospital less than a week after having open heart surgery. He sounds in fantastic spirits. He is up and walking around. He's got a number of doctor's appointments over the coming days and weeks, but he's very keen to get his teeth back into the markets. And for the moment, taking it easy, but raring to go. Certainly, anyone who would be, we had a number of emails warning about the dangers of bypass surgery on cognitive ability, but he says that if anything, and touch wood in that regard, he feels that his short-term memory has improved rather than disimproved due to the surgery. And with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.